Hello, Rebel! Ladies and gentlemen, lock up your wives, your sisters, your daughters, your girlfriends, fiancés, and even your female pets. What are you looking at while we're talking, mate? I'm not wearing anything.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Rebel Alliance isn't going to go away.
GW. I was going to say GW, and GW in my mind does not mean Gears Workshop.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Anyway,
you're not wrong.
I've never said to you, Fed, that you're wrong.
Yeah, if I lose, it means I wasn't trying. But if I win, I also wasn't trying.
Yeah.
I'm not a tryhard.
I wouldn't even call it a dicing. I would just say that he had more favorable dice than I had.
The other guy was not impressed.
What's the worst that can happen, right? What is the worst that can happen? Ladies and gentlemen, shoot Fed TV, everybody.
Yeah, it's like when you just decide that you don't care about your elves anymore and you're just gonna throw them at the ball until it works. Things can happen.
Oh, don't get me started.
Foaming the turns.
Did he really just say that right now to me with a straight face? Did he really just say an hour and a half to 2 hours? Pauline is for suckers after all.
Well, now that we've figured out that situation, guys, go and cage dive your ogre.
Take it away!
Oh, it's gonna be good, man.
Oh.
And hello, Rebel, and welcome to Rebel Alliance episode 93. It just happened. We've just done. I think we're at 5 on the run. We might even be at 6 on the run. I don't even know anymore. It's all gone a bit mental. We've actually started doing episodes. It's me, Full Metal, of course. Who else would be recording this and talking nonsense at you for 2 hours on a Saturday evening? Well, you know, depending on when you listen to it. I can talk a bit more now. I don't feel like I've got the ball and chain. That was the time limit of the last episode. It was so hard just staying focused, and I like the freedom of being able to talk about things that annoy me that are completely unrelated to whatever we're talking about. So we've got that back, so you can look forward to all of that. I am, of course, joined by my wonderful co-host, Superfed TV.
Hello, everybody.
And he's going to be trying extra hard to keep me on task this week, and failing worse than usual, I reckon.
That's par for the course.
You expect it at this point, right?
I do.
And joining us from the other side of the world, literally from the future, from tomorrow, no less, it is Aussie's finest, Mr. Destruction Derby.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, it's too early.
Is it Destruction Derby? Is it Derby? Is it
Derby?
What are we
just
going
with? Derby. Derby is great.
Do you just really love the PlayStation game, the old PS1 one with the cars and you bash them off each other? Is that where it came from?
It's just a name that goes with my name, so that's pretty simple.
I don't know, man. Maybe you're just like banging cars together. I've got to ask these questions. The people need to know.
We have to keep it PG, however, medals.
Okay, well, you know, I'm sure there's a subreddit for it.
Probably. There's always a fetish subreddit. Always.
I'm aware that there's a subreddit of dragons doing things to cars, and then there's another one of cars doing things to dragons, and I'm just... I don't know why they exist, but they do exist.
Oh my.
I've just opened... like, this isn't even like... If you've never been on Reddit before, guys... Like,
Fed, help.
You're asking me to help with a... issue of this sort, because I feel like I only am going to dive in deeper.
To be honest, I feel like when he says help, he's probably asking for a link, Fed.
Oh, yeah, no. That's true. I'm sure McNaughton will help him out.
Oh,
he's on the podcast.
Hey, this has started well, hasn't it?
It has.
Shall we talk about what's going on in the world of Blood Bowl for a bit? Or shall we go back to talk more about the dragons and the cars? I mean... Right. Yeah.
Maybe lay off the gas on that one.
Ooh, I like it, yeah. We went in a bit hot, did we?
Just pump the brakes.
It was a flight of fancy. Right. Yes, Blood Bowl. Things have happened. Actually, nothing has happened. Like, literally, nothing has happened in Rebel this week for a change. That doesn't happen often.
That seems unlikely.
Well, you know, games have been played, and I'm not like,
oh, there
like
we go.
You know, like nobody's rocked up and gone, oh, no one's played a single game, because that would be newsworthy, I feel, if no one had actually played a match. I mean, not that I've played my match, because I play on Monday, because I'm playing Chubstep, of course, because of course I am, right?
I mean, that makes sense.
Well, no, of course, the reason of course I am is because I've been waiting all season for one of my stupid wolves to roll Mighty Blow. And who is my first victim after my wolf rolled Mighty Blow? But Chubstep.
He will kill it by accident.
Oh, totally. I'm assuming his ogre's going to do... The one turn it doesn't Bonehead, it's probably going to sit on it.
Yeah.
Poor wolf. I can't believe he got a double on a character that actually mattered. I still...
Right?
It did take me four levels, to be fair.
Four levels? Oh, no.
Between the two wolves. I've got a Blodge Wolf and a Block Mighty Blow Wolf. I did really bad things to my opponent. He was such a lovely guy, and I was like... You know when you they're a nice guy, and then you just see the game going incredibly wrong for them incredibly quickly? It was a lot like that, to be honest.
So you pile it on because that way you earn more SPP. I understand.
Well, you just put it this way. You know a game's gone bad when none of his KOs wake up, and he's got quite a lot. And then to like really ice the... I put the icing on the cake. The one desperation play he sets up where he's trying to... Gonna get the ball down the sideline to get all his KOs back with a quick score. It all goes very, very wrong when a zombie intercepts.
Goddamn intercepts. They make me so mad.
Yeah, but a zombie intercept makes you that little bit... It's amazing because everyone wants to see a zombie go, my ball. But at the same time, it does make you very salty if it's not you. Right?
Mummy intercepts are worse.
I don't know. So at least mummies are tall, right? So they're close to it.
That's true.
No, it was Lord Sigmund was the guy's name, and he was genuinely lovely dude. I did feel absolutely awful that I also niggled one of his best gut runner, and then he appoed it, and the appo, because this is what appos do, I'm led to believe, came back niggled.
Yeah, don't be sad about hurting gut runners. It's fine.
Fed, how do you feel about gut runners getting hurt?
I don't want to talk about it.
How bad was it? It was bad last week, right?
I finally got Blibble to League Manager up and running. For those of you that don't know, I'm like our Rebel representative on that website. And the first thing I did was look at my team. And I have two seasons on this team. So last season, as Rats, I outcast my opponents by about five. It was like 30-something to... Like 36 to 31. And then... For whatever reason, this season has not been going as well. I have only inflicted, before this game, I had only inflicted 2 casualties, and I had suffered 22 casualties in 4 games.
That's a ratio, yeah.
So everyone's telling me when I'm putting the stat out there, oh, it'll be fine, because, you know, you've got vampires coming up. You know, they got thralls, AV7, you should be cool, yeah, totally. And, well, it didn't quite work out that way. I definitely got my head handed to me by Lumi. The first drive, it just kind of got away from me. He was able to base me up entirely. And, of course, my foul did nothing. I went in with a bribe, a wizard, and an extra line rat. And,
But I mean, it's Lumi. No, did you expect
and Skitter and Skitter for stabs? Do I expect to lose to Lumi? I played Lumi before. I don't expect to lose to Lumi, especially rats against vampires. Especially rats against vampires. But it was a tough match. It was a tough match.
Rats
and then so
vampires?
After the first drive just goes miserably, and he scores 1-0. The one turn attempt. Gets interrupted by a kickoff event. Surprise, surprise. I set up for a quick snap.
Was it a fun and interactive kickoff event?
It was so fun and interactive, I would say.
Throw a rock?
No, I just didn't get the quick snap, and I needed the quick snap because he had the sidestep. But I snaked the vanity pass, so I couldn't even really make a block. That was fun. Then... after that, my drive actually went pretty decent. I was able to stall for a couple turns, and then I just kept losing rats. Like, I was down to maybe 5 rats by the time I was back on defense. Used the wizard to turn him over, was able to pick up the ball and just kind of punt it. He was able to recover. But here's the thing about this match that, like, I just felt outclassed the whole time because, you know, dice were going one way and not the other. I get to the end screen, and I'm like, this is going to be just a ridiculous amount of bloodlust that just did not happen. The only time he bloodlusts were on turn 9 and on, like, turn 8 or something like that. Like, basically, he snaked one bloodlust, so he only did 3 thrall bites the entire game. Over 93% success on bloodlust against vampires. That's like, there's no negatrate. There's no way to beat that. It's ridiculous.
Well, you might not have seen Papa Nasty's Skaven game against vampires this week. He won 7-0 comparatively with his Skaven.
What?
So, but I think their bloodlust rate was like more like 30%.
Yeah, I think they got all of the thing. I played vampires this week in my beer league game, and all I needed to do to get the ball safe inside a cage after I got flooded by Skaven was to make a dodge. So I fail a bloodlust, and I'm like, that's fine, there's thralls to spare. And then I fail a dodge, and then I reroll, and I fail the dodge again.
Yep.
That's fun. Yeah. That's triple one. That's... I mean, I'm used to losing games on double ones, but it's been a while since I lost a game on a triple one. That was extra interactive.
Vampires are unique. Super unique.
They're specifically unique in my team as well, because there's only one of them. Because you're only allowed one. It turns out it's really hard to win with 10 thralls and a vampire. Just saying.
I can see that.
Beer League's an experience. It's like Lyman League on Stupid. And thanks, Hero. I love you, man. How is your season going, Darby? Completely got off track.
Well, you know, I'm having lots of fun just bashing things with orcs. So
this is like a getting it off your chest type of team right now, isn't it? Because anyone who doesn't know Darby, he's played the Pro Elves and had an amazing team theme. Credit to that. Yeah. I've got to give you credit for that every time it comes up.
It's interesting. I haven't actually played enough bash, really, not in like a long life formats, and I wanted one of the non-claw gimmick ones personally, because I enjoy a lot of the strength skills. A lot of them are really good.
Stand firm and grab,
yeah,
are like underused, I think, and I genuinely love them both.
I agree. And I know how to like funnel SPP where it needs to be, so like all my Black Hawks were leveled within 5 games. The blitzes are all coming along really nicely. Everyone in my div doesn't want to play me because I've got a lot of Mighty Blow already, which is really fun as well. and I did 15 fouls against Tomo for 0 send-offs.
Ouch. That's awful. That's just inhuman. That's so mean.
To be fair, I think I only KO'd one thing in 15 fouls. Yeah.
To be fair, right? Like I say, well, you play the pros, right? And then you play the Kislev. So this is definitely, this is the palate cleanser, right?
I'm a naturally aggressive coach when I play, and I recognize and know that. So when I have a team that can make a play, I almost always will. So when I do that, I weaken my field position, and I'm all in on if this dice fails, I'm probably going to fall behind sort of line of play, because the teams that I was playing were heavily commitment style, because you have to base players, base cages, get guard where it needs to be, all that sort of stuff. With the orcs, I can actually play a more field position style game, which I actually can do quite well, but I tend to abandon it when I see lines on the ball.
I was just listening to you go, yeah, I play these teams and they can base cages and this is how they do it. And I'm like, you're playing orcs. It's not like they don't do anything different. That's exactly what they do. They just find a cage and go, let's base this thing and have a fight.
But they have a fight. Their armor 9.
So it's the have a fight side of the equation that you like.
And I get strength skills. So I actually have guard on the field, have, you know, stand firm strength 4 pieces. Yeah, it's just something a bit different for a couple of seasons, and then we'll go back to something that has playmaking ability again.
I'm just kind of surprised. You're one of those coaches that I have always expected like to rock up with Wood Elves one day, and it just hasn't happened yet.
Oh, just I can't. I don't want to.
Wood Elves are easy mode. Derby 2020.
Not really. It's just
They are kind of easy mode, though.
They sort of are, but yeah, I don't want to get into a one season lifestyle. That's all.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to like do that myself. I don't know, you know, wow, anyone would want to play one season teams over and over and over.
I just enjoy, metal.
There's a reason my necro team is literally called Part of the Problem. I've accepted that this is my life now.
I feel like if I lose my good gutter runner who took a movement bust, like, and I don't get claw and I don't get a movement up by the end of the season, I'll probably do a reroll in like either wood elves or pro elves.
I've got to say though, right, your gutter runner that took a movement bust is still really good.
Yeah, that's what I said. If I lose that one,
I mean, yeah, movement A is not as good as movement 9, but it's still movement A, and you've got like.
But it was a really, really, really easy one turn before, and now it's not really an easy one turn.
I'm sure I can have the support of everyone when I go, oh, boo hoo. A little bit.
Oh. Yeah, seeing the movement up guy get movement busted is actually. Sorry, the agi up guy get movement busted. Heartbreaking for you.
It does its job. He's still a quarterback and ball recovery and all that. Like, you can, you know, throw a decent pass on a 2+ though.
So. You're down to 6 guys. Oh my lord!
I have no team. turns out, going from tier 5 to tier 2 on your second season is bad for longevity.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, you are a very aggressive Skaven coach, so I kind of, you know, knew that we were going to have this conversation at some point, and you were going to have a sad at some point because your team blew up. I'm surprised it took an entire season.
I've had over 26 Kaz in 5 games now. Or no, it's like 20... I had 6 Kaz against Lumi, so 28 Kaz in 5 games is pretty rough.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, that's really quite a lot. That's quite a few. But I mean, you know, it's this scare. Like, when everyone's playing against Skaven, they just sat there going, "I hope this team explodes. I hope this team explodes. I hope this team explodes." And you're making their dreams come true. So you're making people happy, Superfed. How can you be
still 3-1-1 with all those casualties? So.
Skaven are bullshit. Oops, sorry, Skaven are dumb. Skaven are dumb.
That's everyone knows one. It's you know what? It's somewhat of like a drinking game, I reckon, where people need to guess how long the guest is going to go before they drop.
That really should be like in a Grand View's recaps every week is the timer on the clock where the one gets burned.
I tried to stop myself. I'm sorry.
I tried, man. I tried so hard.
Yeah, but yeah, you're 3-1-1 with not a team. And
I don't even know why. Really, I've stopped looking at my score. I never went into this like expecting to win my division. I went into this, I'm actually committed to playing this team, and then, you know, my Mighty Blow Werewolf will die somewhere down the line, and then I'll go, screw it, my team's dead. That'll be my reroll, right? But at the moment, I genuinely I'm committed to playing this team for multiple seasons, because I really enjoy Necro and I've wanted an excuse to bust him out for a while, and then I've always been like, oh, there's too much Necro, and I, you know, finally biting the bullet and going, you know what, like.
So you also enjoy easy mode middle. Excellent.
Necro aren't easy mode. They need a double. Yes, they need a double before they're easy.
Oh,
mode.
They need to roll a 1 in 6. Oh no.
It took me 4 goals, is all I'm saying. 4. It took me 4 goals.
I should have taken you 2 more.
Well, that's not how maths works, alright? That's just not
how it is.
It's not. It shouldn't take me 6 to get 1, alright? It shouldn't. It should take me roughly that. Maybe. Stop being mean. What am I? I don't even know where I am for the. I won, I lost, I drew, I won. So I'm like 2-1-1. I'll take that.
It's not bad.
I'm not doing terrible.
You haven't played this week yet?
I'm playing Chubb's up on Monday.
Okay.
He's, like I said, I think he's embraced the meme at this point. Of everyone was joking that, obviously, because him and Richard T are twins, right? And everyone was joking that they were the same person for the longest time. And he's fully embraced it now by playing humans.
If I wasn't playing in Rebel, I would totally. Well, I did. I played humans in the whatever Champions League that was out there, and that was.
I actually really like playing humans. Right, they're a really, really fun team. A lot of people don't.
A try hard, I would agree with you. Like, it can be fun. But if you're trying hard.
You're such a try hard, Fed.
Yeah, I know. I'm here. I need to represent that part of the.
Are you the one
that appeals to the hardcore audience? Are you? You're the one that.
Yeah, you know, pretty much.
Always takes the smart skills and plays for the win in every possible opportunity and tells everyone to be smart at all times and no fun allowed!
No fun allowed. Pretty much. That all sounds right.
Speaking of no fun allowed, actual fun. Imperium season 3 starting. Like, I know we talked about it previously. I'm trying to get Haring Zod on next week. I haven't tried that hard because I haven't actually spoke to Haring Zod about coming on next week. But it's my plan.
You've thought about it.
No, yeah, totally. I mean, you know what? With me, you should know by now. With me, that's like half the battle. Like,
there's a plan to have a plan to get Haring Zod on. All right.
Yeah, you know, what's going to happen is he's going to listen to this tomorrow in the office or whatever, and then he's going to go, all right, I'll see if I can make next weekend free. And then really, I've done my duty, right? I mean, to be fair, how good have I been at guests, Fed? Like, this last few weeks? This past time?
So good. Actually, you know, you've been very consistent. And yeah, it's been going well.
You know who hasn't made an advert yet? Just for the record.
Yeah. I made no promises.
No, I made them on your behalf. So you're making me look bad at this point.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll get there. I haven't covered any matches yet either. To be fair, I've only had the most nebulous of ideas as to when these matches are that I should be covering. So it's not overly my fault that no matches have been covered as far as the Patreon yet. But I'm sure we'll get there. Sure. Okay. I'm confident. Because either people are going to pay me and then not ask me to cover the matches, which is, you know, I'm not going to lie, that like works better for me. You know, the part where I get money for nothing is better than the part where I have to do work for something.
That couldn't have been a more metal statement if you tried. That will go in the updated intro whenever that happens.
Hey, don't be like that.
What do you mean, what do I mean?
Why are you going to do me? Why are you going to do me like that? Why are you going to do me like that? I think I just broke the sound gate on my Podomatic on Audacity. So I apologize for anyone who that went a bit loud for. I don't know why, but Audacity's screaming at me that there was far too much of a peak there. So sorry. If you just got deafened work in your car on the way to work, something like that. Yeah, it was Super Fed's fault. He upset me.
Of course. Calling you out.
You know what, right? I've been good. I've been keeping up with the work. I just got all of the stuff ordered. The trophy is pretty much done, apart from it needs the trophy base. So that's...
For last season?
Yeah, like for last season. I'll send you an image, Darby, because technically it's not supposed to be out in the wild yet, but, you know, it will be. I don't want to publish the one without the trophy base. That would upset me. Look at this, right? It's 90% done. That's kind of rubbish. It's great for Mongoose, who I messaged to immediately because, frankly, he's over the moon.
As he should be.
You know what? Mongoose I didn't know him before he won, and the more I chat to him, the more I've realized that he's just the most amazing dude, right? Like, he was talking to me about how he was telling his mates about like winning the Super Bowl and stuff, and one of his mates made him a temporary trophy to help him to allow him to celebrate. And it's literally a cow in a kayak. Because it's a Bulkaner, right? It's so good. It's so good. That's, you know, come on.
The official one is pretty good. That's better.
I want to commission his mate to do our next season. But he was like, he was so happy when he messaged me. I was like, mate, that's so damn cool. He was like, yeah, it's great, isn't it? I was like, oh, it's just, it's fantastic. So I love that so much. If anyone else has unofficial trophies that they've made while waiting for me to send them a mug or something, like, there was one guy, he won one in Clan for an undefeated season. And he kept, every week that it hadn't arrived, he sent me a picture of one of the rubbish mugs from his house.
Like, look, that's dedication.
This is what I'm drinking from this week because my mug hasn't arrived yet, Mel. All right.
That's actual dedication. That's so good.
Look at this. Look at what I have to put up with. I love that kind of thing. Like, if you ever want to send me just stupid stuff, like, it makes my week. I swear to God. There's already enough people who send me like random jokes and things. I'm totally just going to get spammed at this point.
Yeah, the floodgates are now open. You're welcome.
You know what? It's better than like when people flood me with complaints or just, you know, people who want to cause trouble or just, you know, they're just people. People being people. Don't be people.
People being people.
Don't be people. yeah, no. Where were we? I got really distracted by
that. I don't know.
The bull canoe. It's so good, though. It's a bull. It's a bow. It's like, I wish I had mates who did stuff like that for me. That would be so good. right.
Hello, sadness, my old friend.
No, you know what? I've got good friends. One of my friends keeps making me go and see the new Star Wars movies, even though they're all terrible.
He's not a good friend. That to me, actually.
He's a huge Star Wars fan, and it's like I've promised that I'd go and see any Star Wars movie that ever came out with it because he's a really good friend of mine, and I've seen some awful movies off the back of that promise.
Yeah,
I'm just saying it's not as good as a bull trophy. yeah. Right. Imperium was a thing. That was what I was. I think that was the last thing I was talking about. If you haven't yet, now is a really good time. I think it's tomorrow is the deadline. I might be wrong. It might have been today. So you might not have a whole lot of time left by the time you hear this episode. Basically, what I've been doing and what a lot of people have been doing is because you can only carry over so many cards to the new season because obviously the balance and stuff. So a lot of people have been like dusting all of their old collection to try and pull like some of the really cool like legendary cards or unique cards, because all of your unique cards get transferred over, so you can collect all of the unique cards as and when as you go. You get to keep those in your collection, but you don't get to keep most of your collection, so you've got to start fresh every season. And a lot of people have been over there like dusting the cards and trying to see if they can YOLO a last unique or cool card to take with them or whatever. So that's something you should do if you play Imperium. I know Fed doesn't, and I don't know if you do, Darby. I don't think I've ever seen you play Imperium.
I played all of Season 1. And then I changed jobs and haven't had time for Season 2.
You changed jobs?
I made that one time on the podcast. That was as far as I got.
You sat there one time and went, this is really cool.
Yeah, I opened my intro packs and I was like, wow, this is really cool. I don't have time.
I would totally love to play with this team.
Like, the fact that it's all automated is insane.
Yeah, it's even more automated next season, because Thomas T, and I think it's all Thomas T, as far as I'm aware, has created a way for the client, or the hooks we have into the client to allow the Imperium bot stuff to set up tournaments by itself.
Well, that's insane as well, like.
So, like, instead of having to actively get into client and send tickets to the teams and build the bracket and send tickets to teams and all of that malarkey, literally the bot, when they kick off a tournament within the bot, just goes, all right, well, we're playing this tournament now, so I'll build this tournament and send all these invites to these teams that have registered for it, and it'll do everything itself now.
It's and insane.
That's crazy. That's, I don't know how that's a thing, but it's amazing. I love
no.
it.
The Rebel community is amazing, honestly.
Truly.
Like, the resources out there are insane.
I've probably explained it terribly as well, but it totally sounds... If it works like I understand it works, it's fantastic, and if it doesn't, it's still pretty damn cool. So, we're 90% of the way there, whichever option we're going to take on that front. Essentially, what I do know it has done is it has cut down the amount of time that the admins need to actually do anything, which is always good because there's a ton of admin in it, as you can probably imagine in Imperium.
Yeah. The admins already do a great job, so anything that helps them is always good.
It's pretty impressive, just the amount of effort that's getting put into it. I know Lumi's working on some amazing things as well, just to ensure that the future of Rebel is always going to be in Rebel's hands.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's there's so many smart people doing smart things. I found out as well, like just through a random conversation that I was reading, that the guy who makes one of the replay viewers is actually in my division that I'm recapping.
Yeah. It was in my dudes.
Yeah, it was. It's a guy called Styrocar. Shout out to the man. He is. Yeah, he made a replay viewer thing that Dreamify is talking about using to do all sorts of magic with, and it's just like, I didn't know
I
you
saw
were...
that. Yeah, it's really cool.
I love the Rebel community. They're constantly coming up with cool new stuff, and like, I don't know. Maybe it's because we play a super geeky game, right? So we attract like super geeks, and maybe that's what it all. You know, come on.
The support immediately dried up.
No,
calling them all super geeks.
Have you not? Do you not understand? It's cool to be a nerd and a geek now. It's fine. It's acceptable. It's socially okay. Did you not catch that memo? It's fine. They love it. They know what they are. I'm sorry. If you hear that,
audience, you know what you are.
Keeps on digging. Keeps on digging.
We all know that if you're going to spend your weekend sitting there going, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to code some stuff. We both know you're a nerd. But it's cool. It's cool to be a nerd, and we love you. Well done. Keep being a nerd, dude. I didn't murder that too badly.
Sure.
I can't wait for next week when it tells me all of the Patreons have dropped off the Patreon. You called us a nerd. So, it's cool. It's fine. Comic book movies are in the cinema all the time, and it's good to be a nerd.
That's true. It's not the same thing.
Anyway. One of them's a nerd and one of them's a geek, but it's all good. Like, it's all respectful these days. It's respectable. People love that stuff, and also they tend to get paid tons in like greedy good jobs.
Yes, that's true.
There's a mobile game that I play, and I'm on one of the forums for it. I was talking to one of the dudes off there, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I spent like $2,500 on this game this month." And I was like, "On a mobile game?" He's like, "Oh, it's fine. I work for like Facebook, doing back end stuff. This is nothing." It's like, yeah, but you just spent $2,500 on a mobile game. It's like,
yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot.
I mean, I don't have an issue with people spending their money on what they want to spend their money on, right? That's totally their prerogative. Like, you know, my brother-in-law has really expensive golf clubs and goes on golfing holidays, but he doesn't cost him $2,500, so it's a weird thing.
To each their own.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know, you said you changed jobs, so I don't know if you still do, but didn't you run a hobby store for the longest time?
I'm still doing that, but I'm also doing a like extra stuff on the side for my business partner's business, so.
Ah.
I do distribution and extra things now as well.
That, you know, when you say just distribution and extra things, it totally sounds like you sell weed.
No.
It doesn't. I just wanted to see how you'd react.
I still sell cardboard and plastic crack. That's it.
I was going to say, you do still sell drugs. It's just the paper variety.
Very much so, yes.
It's Superfed's favourite kind of drug, right? You're a magic guy.
I'm dabbling.
He's dabbling, he says. I had to peel him
away from... It's not actually cardboard, right? It's
also spent $2,500 on cards last month.
Totally fine.
No, he's playing Legends of Runeterra,
I've spent $0, and I am getting my money's worth.
Have you actually spent $0? Have you actually spent $0?
I have honestly actually spent $0.
Oh, well, fair enough. Respect. I genuinely assumed you'd have picked up a starter pack or something by now.
Yeah.
So I thought about it.
I contemplated it, but I didn't actually end up doing it.
A cute little icon or something?
Yeah, you know. Something like that.
It's the whole thing, right?
I don't know, man. It's fine. I used to play, like, Hearthstone and stuff, so I get it. They're so good at making money. I play mobile games, because that's all I have time for, really. I try and play Path of Exile, and then go, yeah, I've got like, kid stuff to do now, and I've got to look after the family, so I've got to stop doing this now. And mobile games are there, because you can allow, you know, just let the kids do their own thing, and just sit there in a corner with your phone and play.
Yeah, I play mobile games, but Supercell are evil, and they've gotten a lot of my money as well.
Who is, what's Supercell? Which one's that?
They make all the
Clash of Clans and yeah.
Oh god, I know. I heard Clash of Clans is awful as far as modernization.
I play Clash Royale and some of their other ones. So
fair enough.
I've watched people play Clash Royale at like PAX and stuff. It looks interesting, but
didn't they try
it's
and
a
make
good game?
Is that the one that they so turned? Addictive. They attempted to turn into like an eSport almost.
They did for a while. I don't think successfully, however.
They tried. It's always what we're going to leave out. An attempt was made. Right. Whoever's
they
listening to this
so
section, we might actually talk about Blood Bowl in about 5 minutes, so stick around, I promise.
Wait. Oh, okay.
I promise it's coming. Possibly. No. So, yeah, Imperium is card. It's kind of card games. It's all linked. It's all linked. That's where they got the inspiration from. Don't pretend it isn't. It isn't. It's from FIFA Ultimate Team, which is technically another way to rinse money out of people.
That's a word for it.
I was going to go with gouge, and I don't know if that has international connotations at work as well.
That's fair.
Mm. No, gouging money makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, cool. We're up to date. We've talked about games, we've talked about Imperium, we've talked about...
Not Imperium, but similar about. To Imperium
yeah,
and other platforms.
About, yeah, Magic the Gathering stuff-esque sure. things. There was something... You know what? There's something on the tip of my... That definitely had to talk about. And I totally can't remember. So I'm hoping in about an hour, Zinge will message me again, because Zinge tends to do that during the podcast, and go, you said you'd talk about this. If you missed it, by the way, Homosep ran Zinja's game through on stream last week. Because obviously Zinja's a programmer, he supports Rebel tons. He's got his indie game out, and Homosep played it on stream to show it off to people, which I thought was pretty cool. So that was nice.
That's pretty cool.
I think I'm done. I think whatever thought I had about talking about whatever it was I was supposed to talk about, the odds are good that it's never coming back, so...
Cool. I'm assuming you have a cheat sheet, because I don't.
No. You know what? No.
No cheat sheet here.
I have a Superfed. Superfed's supposed to keep me on track and talk about things that are interesting.
I'm doing a great job of that today.
Are you still playing Legends of Runeterra?
Of course.
Well, that explains a lot, doesn't it? You're going to get so much grief for admitting that. You know that, right? Like,
If I wasn't playing this, I would be playing on the Rebel Perpetual Ladder. So
how is the Rebel Perpetual Ladder treating you? How's it working out?
I'm still in like second place or something like that. I've only played one game in the last week. Whenever the season ends, though, I'm a lock for the playoffs.
Nice! With your Orcs or with...
It's the Necro. The Necro are the ones that are just... The ones that you played.
Is this why you're salty? Because you still haven't got a Mighty Blow Wolf?
Of course I have not gotten a Mighty Blow Wolf. Why would I get a double on a player that actually could use a double? I don't have Claw on my Storm Vermin either.
At least your Storm Vermin is still alive. Unlike the Agi one.
Sure.
Mean.
True. I didn't like the Agi Storm Vermin, and now it's dead.
Kick a man when he's down.
Yeah, it's not
dead, though. It's just move busting.
No, the Agi Storm Vermin. The Agi Storm Vermin's dead.
Oh, the Agi Vermin. Yes, the Agi Vermin's dead. Yeah, that made me sad. That did make me sad.
I don't know. It made me sad that you took an Agi Storm Vermin.
Did stuff.
And then it died.
Did stuff.
Anyway. Stuff. I'm totally lost. My mind has gone completely blank, and I had something to talk about, and I just don't know what. You know what? I do know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the talking point. Nothing else happened around Rebel. Oh no, that was it. We got there. Oh my god. We'll cut that last 2 minutes out in post. We won't cut that out in post. Right. I wanted to talk about this because I wanted to get your opinion on it, Fed. Because you're going to hate it. And this is... I know you're going to hate it, but I also hate it. So this is one of those ones where I'm telling you things to make you agree with me so that I feel better about myself.
Even though I will hate them. Got it.
Yeah, well, I hate this. Dode and Sage have been busily... And I hate to poop on people who are doing well.
Oh, I did see that. I know. I'm actually going to be able to contribute to this.
They've made a tabletop Slaanesh team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it. Right. This, you know what? Credit to them for really trying to make something unique.
Is this the 40k lineman with dirty player team, or is this
No. This is an entirely new Slaanesh team that basically it was Sage and Dord. They kind of took inspiration from Fumble Secret League races. They also had contributions from San, who used to run the NAF, and they also got feedback from Waldorf and Anarion. So there's, you know, there's quite a few big names involved in the publication with this, and I'm dead sorry because I love the Sage to bits, and I don't want to like poo-poo his new toy, but I just don't like this, and I wanted to see what everyone. You know what? I'm not gonna over push my opinion. I want to see what you guys think because I've spoken to them and I've said my piece on this already. But all right, so basic team 0 to 16 cultists, which are your linemen, obviously 50k, movement 6, strength 3, agility 3, armor value 8. No skills. Agility and mutations on normals. Okay.
60k? Mm-hmm.
50k. I'll send you the 50K. Cheat sheet in a sec. Demonettes, 0 to 4. Cost 100k. 7-3-4-7. With claw, hypno gaze, no hands, and regen. With general agility and mutation skills on normals. So the entire team has strength and passing on doubles, and most of them have general on doubles as well. There's also the Slangors, which 0 to 2, 80k, movement 7, strength 3, agility 3, armor value 8, horns, general agility mutation access on normals. And finally, the Keeper Secrets, which is 180k, that's a big boy, movement 6, strength 5, agility 1, armor value 8, not 9, 8. Lorna, Break Tackle, Claw, Disturbing Presence, Leader, Regen, and Wild Animal. And that has agility and mutations on normals.
I have thoughts.
I'm going to send you the images so you can react to this fairly as well. So you've got the lists in front of you. They rerolls cost 60k, and they have an Apo, and they can hire... Their star players are like Max, Ludgrip, Hawkon, Roxana, Brickfarth and Grotty, and Morgan Thog. So it's a smorgasbord of the usual suspects, really, from like Dark Elves with a couple of Chaos guys thrown in for good measure. And, you know, it's inventive and it's different. It's, you know, it's an agility-based mutations team, which is something we've been asking for a long time. But I just don't know if this is the agility-based mutations team that we need.
Well, okay. All right, so... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think... Just because you have access to the agility skill set does not make you an agility-based team. 4 agility players makes this more of a hybrid-style team without strength access, which, in my mind, is not a good thing.
And also,
are you saying the Skaven are a hybrid team, not an agility team?
Thank you. Yeah, it is. This is not an agility team.
The thing is, right, even compared to Skaven, though, your Agi-4 players can actually pick up the ball. The Agi-4 players in this team can't pick up the ball.
Which is why it's not an agility team. This is... Would you call Amazons an agility team?
No.
And they have strength access, though. So I think they're actually a better agility team than this is.
I think Amazons are more of a bash team than anything.
I would say Amazons don't play the agility way. The reason why this team plays the agility way is because it's going to primarily be around dodging and screening with one cage dive piece. That's exactly how agility plays defense.
Dodging and screening on agility 3, though.
Well, the thing is, right?
But your front line, your screen is going to be the Agi-4 pieces.
Do you need to dodge?
Is it?
To be fair, when
I would think.
Do you need to dodge when you can hypno gaze because you've got 4 hypno gaze players?
But if you're using the demonettes as your screen pieces, they're armor 7. They're not higher strength. They're not going to be protected by any sort of.
But they're not like Amazons play the base game. This is not a team that's going to play the base game.
That's true. But my fear is they're going to get based.
Right, and you're going to have to dodge out. Just like
they don't start with dodge. They don't start with dodge on any player. Sure, they can get it, but the cultists do not start with it. So by the time they become a dodge. Style agility team, they're going to be how high of a TV? I don't know.
So what I was going to start is I would never have engaged in any of these kinds of conversations because I just know that it's never going to happen. Gears Workshop is never going to actually make a quality Blood Bowl team that's going to fill what the community is asking for. But I have reason to believe now that we might actually get something similar to this based on...
based on who's involved, they've got some pull with the community, right? So this...
No, not the not that anything to do with that. It's more about the fact that, like, I believe there's people in the community that can come up with modifications to the client in the near future that could actually allow us to make new teams.
I like this. I believe you know.
And that's the only reason why I'm going to engage in any of this kind of conversation.
I mean, it's designed for tabletop, but I just wanted to get your opinion because, you know, tabletop does inform that we can't get away from the fact that we're playing the video game version of a tabletop game, right? It absolutely informs the game that we're playing, whether you like it or not, Fred.
I don't like it.
I know you don't. I didn't say you liked it.
I don't like it.
I didn't say you did! Oh, for God's sakes. It's like dealing with a child. I thought I was bad. I love you, Fed.
I don't like this big guy.
Yeah, no, for me, right, okay, I'm going to get into my thing. Right? Personally, I think the first thing this team does is invalidate vampires completely. Because why would you run vampires? If you want a team with Hypnogaze access, you take this team, surely. Because they're more reliable, they have better linemen, they have better positionals apart from the strength 4 and strength access, but their positionals are reliable without fail. Oh, they can get mutation
access.
To me, I don't understand why if this team existed, and this is my biggest problem with the team. Have fun, play around and stuff, but the one thing that no team in Blood Bowl does is make you go, why would I ever play that team because I can play this team? Because everything has its own strengths and weaknesses.
I
you know,
totally disagree with that.
There's some teams that get close.
Why would you ever play Kislev when you can play Skaven? Why would you ever play... there are so
because
many...
Because you want reliable linemen.
Why would you ever play humans when you can play Dark Elves?
Because you want a big guy and strength access.
Because you want to play worse, okay.
No, you want strength access.
Oh my gosh. Alright.
Human blitzers are human blitzers are great.
Why would you play those humans when you would play Amazon?
Yeah, but okay. Nothing takes alright, I'm gonna spell this out a different
That's
way.
Not a good argument.
No, it is a good argument. I'm gonna take Fed doesn't win. I'm gonna rephrase
this. Vampires can't do. This team does something that vampires cannot do.
It does everything that vampires can do.
By your logic, you just said a big guy is an argument. This has a big guy that is unique to anything else in Blood Bowl.
No. So I actually understand Metal here. He means the other way. If this team's in the game, what makes you play vampires?
Yeah. I'm not... My argument isn't...
He meant the other way.
We play vampires for reliability. This is a very unreliable team.
This is more reliable than vampires. It doesn't eat your own players, and it's got AV8 linemen who have agility access and mutation access. That's better than a thrall. Every day of the week.
Your vampires are dying repeatedly. The demonettes are dying more often than vampires.
Riddle me this. What skill does a demonette need? It doesn't need level ups. You get out the box for 100k, it's a phenomenal player. It's got Agi-4, so it can basically go kind of where it wants. It's movement 7, so it's very fast, because movement 7 is actually a really good movement speed. And it has Hypnogaze. Like,
so just
you
like
don't
vampires,
need
you're
levels
to rely
on that.
On a 2+.
Yeah, well, you're having to rely on a 2+ to not eat. You're not eating your own players.
But that they are able to play around that, and maybe I'm just living in shock because my players got no one got eaten against me this week. But I would assume that a skilled coach would be much more capable with vampires than with this team.
But also, vampires don't have claw.
Yeah,
sure. I personally
still needs doubles to be top tier for sure.
I'll put
vampires
the link
don't need doubles.
In,
that's the difference. Vampires do not need doubles to accomplish its playstyle. This team would be a team that needs doubles.
Does that make Necro bad then?
They don't need doubles. They're just god mode when they get them. I don't have any doubles, and I've only tied one game. I have not lost the game with Necro.
I didn't say you need them. But this team doesn't need them. doesn't need
I think it does.
It's two ball handlers, as Slanigors.
If you have
need...
zero guard on this team, what exactly do you think you're going to do and hire TV?
I mean, guard doesn't work when you're hypnotized.
We keep her a secret blitzing all the time because we have no guard. Yeah,
this team would be terrible high TV, and even like 1500 up is going to be terrible without guard.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. I just think a vampire is suddenly amazing. Vampires don't exactly have a ton of guard. How many vampires actually take guard?
Are you really bringing up rebel vampires? Because like, random boy exists.
Yeah, and he's got one guard.
Doesn't need the guard. That's the thing with the vampire. This team needs the guard. The vampires don't need the guard. They are a different playstyle, for sure.
I think it's similar. I think the closest analogy...
Kislev being worse Skaven is truer than this team being better vampires.
That's nonsensical. Kislev are much... not worse Skaven.
Okay.
I mean, they're worse than Skaven, but they're not worse Skaven.
They are worse Skaven. They're worse than Skaven, but they're not worse Skaven.
They are so worse Skaven.
They're not worse. They're worse than Skaven, which you're totally getting. You're misconstruing the two things.
No, they play the same.
They don't. You play them the same, but that doesn't mean they play the same across the board.
They play the same, but okay. If you want to play poor Kislev with a bear and a whole bunch of.
My bear is the best, how dare you?
If you want to play Kislev poorly, then sure, they don't play like Kislev, or they don't play like Skaven. But that's like saying, orcs are a worse human team. Like,
orcs are
playing that way.
Orcs arguably are a better human team.
Of course they are. Orcs are.
This is slow, Ansel.
Because they actually play the Bash game better. They just. Play the agi game marginally worse, but humans aren't exactly godly at the agi game anyway. I'm gonna get out agied by Chubstep tomorrow now. That's what I'm still under. I swear to God, just because I said it. So
I don't know. I know the minds that worked on this Slaanesh team. I can see what they're going for, but I think they've tried to do too much, but missed some core things that the team needs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this team. I don't think I like it.
I personally think the big guy's utter garbage, and I don't know why you'd ever take it. Especially because, interestingly, you can have 4 Demonettes, 2 Slanigors, 3 rerolls, and 11 players for 1,000 for 1,000 TV. So why would you ever take
it? Because it can be loner break tackle dodge after one level. Like, break tackle dodge, sorry, after a single level. Yeah. Strength 5, break tackle dodging, like...
Yes, but how often do you go, you know what, my big guy's going to save the day? Like, if that's your game plan...
When it is your game plan, it's...
Like, admittedly, I'm desperately in wanting Khorne because their game plan appears to be the big guy will save the day.
I love them. They're so good. They're so bad, they're good. They're great.
Why would you ever play Khorne when you can play Norse?
Because you know what, Norse don't need the Yeti.
Yeah, they do.
Nah, why is big guy a defining thing when big guys are objectively?
Why is big guy the defining thing? We're talking about Khorne, right? Big guy is the defining thing.
Okay.
You can't argue that. Like, it really is. Like, people play Khorne because
Guarantee you there would be a Khorne without a big guy, and Rebel.
You know what? Actually, to be fair, apparently the most successful Khorne teams don't use the big guy. But...
Because big guys are bad!
No, because Khorne are just bad.
Big guys are bad.
They all have Frenzy and they don't have Block. It's terrible. It's such a bad team.
That's why you would play Norse.
But you know what? I don't want to play Norse. I actually am terrible at Norse, and that's the funny part is I desperately want Khorne because I love the idea of a Khorne team, but I'm awful at Norse, and I know I'll be awful at Khorne. I guess I'm just that guy.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy. Let's play teams. Has fun, Superfed. Has fun in leagues.
Yeah, I was gonna say. big guys are normally fun pieces. That's why people play them.
Yeah, they tend to be interesting. Beast of
Nurgle, they're a little bit different.
I would argue not fun, but very effective, but not fun.
Yeah, but I'm not engaging that.
No, but I played Nurgle, right? One of the least favourite players on my entire team was the Beast of Nurgle, because every time I needed its tentacles to work or it not to go stupid, either the escape from tentacles or it'd go stupid. But I can't deny that when it works, it was insanely effective. Like, against Manus Atra, I held two-thirds of an orc team up.
Use it. You're not supposed to use it. That's the point. That's why it's the best big guy. Put it on the pitch and you leave it there.
You stick it somewhere annoying and then go on, play with it.
What's wrong with that? That's totally fine. And I think big guys in general give you something a little bit different to what your team normally has, which makes them an interesting piece for players that actually enjoy playing the game.
Some people just have
fun. If you want to win the game, you probably don't play a big guy team.
Hang on. You know what? Wood elves, okay? They have trees. They win the game.
Yeah, but again, that thing just stands there and it's done its job.
Not supposed to be used.
It just stands there.
It stands there and shelters the poor lineman under its branches.
You're supposed to pivot around it. That's how you're supposed to use it.
Pivot.
It's not just that, actually. Genuinely, as far as the numbers work, it's been proven through like thousands and thousands of game of Fumble that the Wood Elf teams with trees, their linemen live longer.
Correct. Yeah, of course they do.
Because there's one less blow every single kickoff, and they tend to kick off a little bit more than other teams due to the fact that they score more than other teams and are, you know, a good team.
Really, they're just better Skaven, aren't they, Superfed?
Well, if I reroll from Skaven to Wood Elves, probably I'll start saying that.
You heard it here first, folks. Wood Elves are better Skaven. Good. You
know, I don't think they are.
He's not as sassy this week. I miss sassy Superfed. Can we have sassy Superfed back?
I'm sure it'll happen eventually.
Right, where were we? I don't know, right? I just think this team, it interests me, but I think it does something that like no other team truly does, where it goes, there's just no reason to play this other team anymore. I know you don't agree. That's my take. I really don't like the big guy, and I just think you're right that it's dead in the water after like 100 and after like 1500, right?
Yeah, I don't know where it goes. I don't know. I don't know where this team would go.
I mean, stats would be cool on it too. Like getting stat ups on your Slaanogors, even your cultists would be interesting.
Overly need stats on Slaanogors because they're already movement 7 and they have mutation.
And they have horns. Yeah, they have horns. And
yeah.
I don't think you need them, but it'd be interesting if you did. If you got an agi up on that with mutations, that becomes a pretty nasty piece.
Yeah, that's very true.
And that's where it's like you could have an interesting team, but it's not. I would not say it's an overpowered team. A lot of people think it is.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I don't know. It's a team.
It'd be fun to play, though. I think building it and playing it would be interesting.
If you thought we've been fighting so far, guys, we're about to move on to the top 40 segment. That's totally going to go over well.
Actually, I'll say one last point on this. You point out the fact that it is for tabletop. I bet you this is thinking of like a NAF-style tournament.
On tabletop, you have will go down
like... Point buy, exactly. Like, if they had a skill buy system where, like, you only get, like, 200 TV or whatever, that's what this team is really designed for.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Do you play tabletop, Dob? I know, obviously, you...
I do.
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
Are you going to be taking this to your tabletop mates and going, look what I've got, guys?
Well, we use the Fumble teams and stuff already, and we play around with different things because, you know, they're fun to play around with. Most of them are a bit... They're a bit polarizing. They're either really, really good or really, really shit. I don't think there's one that's in between yet.
That's one for you, Grandview. Make a note. That was an hour on the note, 59 minutes.
That doesn't count. I'm from Australia. That's just vocabulary.
That doesn't count.
Anyway, they just are. They tend community-made teams, even when they're done by good people, tend to be polarizing in the way you feel about them. And yeah, I'd play this just to see what it plays like, and I think tournament style would be very interesting to see what people come up with min-max wise.
I think it'd be fun, and I think when you think about it from a tabletop perspective, there's a lot in there to like in terms yep. of fun and taking it less seriously. I just don't know if it'd be dead on arrival in a league.
For tournaments, you've got 4 Hypno players. You'd probably min-max maybe 3 of them. I could see how you could make this a really good tournament team.
My bigger question is, right, it was, when I said I didn't like it, right, it was, I was told, like, conclusively that, you're wrong, Mel. And I was like, how can I be wrong about disliking something? My question...
No, you could be wrong.
Where would you like us to point that out to you?
My question comes from, would it have been as vigorously defended, and I mean no disrespect, like I said, from the off, I mean no disrespect to Sage, or Dode, or any of the other guys that have got involved with this in any way, shape, or form, but... would this have been as vigorously defended when someone went, I don't think I like it, if it hadn't come from those guys? If some nobody had walked into the beer hall and went, I made this team, would we all be going, ooh, you can't say bad things about it? Cause...
Do you want me to really answer that? Because the answer is yes. Have you met Blood Bowl coaches? Have you been to the Blood Bowl Reddit? You even looked at your own Discord?
I try not to. It upsets me.
Guess what? They would still bitch about it.
That's my point, though. Would they be as vigorous defending it? And I just don't think they would. I think there's a lot of star power in the defense of this team.
There is a defense? I didn't realize there was a defense. I thought you were talking about people bitching about it.
No, people like it.
You're allowed to like it.
I don't have a problem with it.
Superfans like, people like this? I don't understand.
It's definitely harder to just flat call it shit based on who has.
Oh, for God's sake, Darby!
Oh,
two in 2 minutes.
That's not a swear word to me. I apologize.
You know what? Every time we get an Aussie on, I just know that it's going this way. This is like,
it's true. It's true.
I apologize, Americans that are sensitive.
It's not that. Yeah, right? It's not because, right, to clear it up before we go any further, there's a lot of, like, ooh, you're not allowed to swear on Rebel stuff, and there's a lot of, like, people who don't get where it comes from. It just comes from the fact that I know tons of people, I've spoken to them over and over again, they do listen to this around their families and things like that. I listen to a lot of Rebel streams, like, with the kids in the room, and if you start swearing on your Rebel stream, and my kids are around, I have to turn your stream off. I can't sit there with a 5-year-old while someone's effing and jeffing. It's something I can't do. A mum would kill me as much as anything.
Yeah, I don't filter that particular word. I'm sorry.
No, I get it. Well, no, to be fair, Fed, you stream at 2 in the morning. No one else is there.
It's really hard to call this team bad based on who has contributed to it. That's all.
Yeah.
Because they have a reason for picking all of these things. They do, and they can back them up, which means that if you want to fight them over those choices, they have a counterpoint for you.
Heck, if you want to fight Dord, all I'm saying is good luck to you. Because that's an experience by itself. You better come correct, because he'll fix your spelling for you.
So yeah, it's hard to say the team is not good when you see who has worked on it.
I agree. It's interesting. I think we've spent far too long on this, and Fed hasn't been controlling the podcast at all, so it's all his fault. Let's blame Fed. Boo, Fed.
It is all my fault.
He's like, yeah, I accept this. Right. Should we do the top 40? I teased it before. Let's do it. Darby's our guest. You've read the. You know where we're up to, right? Rundown? Fed, do the rundown.
Oh, the rundown. Totally. Let me pull that up. I wasn't...
Let you tab out of...
That's exactly what's happening. We have the Sage, Ornan, Motley, McMackey, Morka, Sandun, Viking Cop, Gerber, Kedgeroos, Japenzy, Stauticus, Random Boy, Luminous, Sace, G'day Nick, RGXL, and Crystal Hunter.
I'm really sad because there's been people added that I wanted to talk about. This actually makes me quite sad.
I didn't know how often we were going to get Aussie guests, so I tried to fill out some of your slots for you, all right?
No, I was going
to... If I left it to Superfed, there'd be one of you.
It's not
like,
true.
I was actually going to promote Crystal Hunter, but he got added, so...
I had a good chat with Crystal Hunter, actually, off the back of it, and he was really pleased that he got mentioned and stuff, and he said he has got, like, people coming to him now. And not too many, but, like, a few extra, so that's cool, too.
Yeah. So that one was annoying, actually. And oh, Nick would have been my big O pick, so that one's also annoying.
So who've you got?
So this is hard, because I know your criteria for how you've been talking about all this sort of stuff, and it upsets people.
It's okay.
For me, it's more like people I see consistently playing scope of teams well, that might not already be on the list. So I think Wolfbark.
Okay. He's going... I got a big O guy on, right? And he doesn't pick a big O. Look, right? What can I do, Big O? What can I do?
I just hope that lets you not pick any more Big O coaches, Metal.
Yeah, they've done it to themselves now. If they don't get any more members on the list, it's your own fault. Blame Darby.
Now, to be biased, someone who I think from Big O who is under the radar and shouldn't be...
Too late, you already named the name.
Yeah, you picked Wolfpack now. You're done. Sorry. I don't want to know
Dirtief is super under the radar.
He's going to stay under the radar, so shush, talk about Wolfbark.
No! But like, genuinely, Dirtief has made playoffs multiple seasons in a row with a team that's been degrading and still putting up really good results. Like, I can't.
So just to confirm, Superfed, because I need to make sure I'm hearing this, he's picking Wolfbark because Dirtief flies under the radar.
That's what I'm hearing.
I didn't realize I could only say one thing. I'm sorry.
You've got to give a reason. You've got to justify your pick. You get one pick. You one pick.
I switched to Big O because I got criticized. I
didn't realize peer pressure worked on your top. I thought you'd be
done.
You put up a Crusader on a regular basis. How does peer pressure work?
You just ignore him. It's easy.
I don't know if I feel mean on that at this point. Okay, right. So, who are we picking? Are we picking Wolfbark? Or are we not? Have we teased Wolfbark now? Like, Wolfbark's ears picked up, and now it's like, no, it's not you anymore.
Because if I don't pick a Big O player, apparently I'll get played.
Pick somebody!
You just killed everyone's ears. I'm going for Dirty.
Okay, what's good about Dirty?
Wow.
He's someone who has made playoffs consistently, season after season, for multiple seasons,
mm-hmm.
with a team that started more powerful than it has been, and has only slowly degraded, despite having, like, obviously, good legends and good skinks and stuff.
His skinks still are about the only thing really that's surviving, balls. Right?
Yeah, his team was looking like it could have been done this season, and he's still massively winning games. So,
and he's definitely been a consistent fixture at the top of Big O as well, right? I mean, he doesn't, like,
very much so.
He's rocking around there.
Yeah, he's been there for a very long time, and you'd never get a free win from him, even on his worst day, like ever. And he just does really good plays with what he has tools wise. So,
I always find, right, whenever, like, because I try and, because I'm free a lot during the day, you've probably seen me around a ton in, like, Crusader streams, because that's when I have my free time, is during the day. And I always, like, whenever you've got Dirtief up on the stream and he's, like, casting the games or whatever, I'll only be kind of half paying attention to it or whatnot. And like, I'll look away for 5 minutes and he'll be like, oh, Dirtief's done, he's in a really bad spot. And then I'll come back, like, 10 minutes later, I made a brew or whatever, and I'm like, he's got the ball, and he's stalling down at the end, and I'm like, how did he get from there to there? It's just, he always seems to do it.
Yeah, he just finds a way, and does a really good job of it, genuinely.
God, are you dropping Jurassic Park memes when life is finding a way, right?
Unintentionally, but yes.
No, I can see that. He's done, I mean, he is, what? Playoffs how many times now? Two, three, four?
I think three, maybe four.
That's a lot. Yeah. All right, I like that pick. You got anything to add to Super Fed, or are you aware that Dirtief is a player that exists?
I am aware of Dirtief. He's made playoffs a couple times, I want to say, from the Big O, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my biggest criticism is I don't think he takes enough. And I think this is a big criticism of a lot of Lizard coaches in Rebel, right? I just feel like you need to embrace the break tackle life a little more. I love break tackle.
I can see that.
And I do. You see these teams and they've got like four or five Saurus that have three skills. And not one of those three skills is break tackle. And I'm like,
Do you want to know why? It's usually because they usually have more than that. But those are the playmakers, which means they get more exposed, or they're actually the ones doing dodges and stuff, and then they tend to die.
Oh yeah, totally. If I was fighting a Lizard team that had one break tackle, I'd focus the break tackle guy.
Yeah, or if there's two, you focus the break tackle guys regardless, right? Like, yeah. That's just their lot in life, so they die.
That's fair.
The Lazy Landlords, yeah, okay. I realized and caught up who we're talking about. He's...
Look, so he's finished his game of Legends of Runeterra, everybody. And
I haven't. I just totally misplayed because I was trying to figure this out. But yeah, he's been playing that team for a long time. I can say that I can pretty predict it. Well, I even played that team. I think I played that team on my Orcs one time. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It's Lizards. Like, they have really good win rates against a lot of teams, but I never really get that impressed by them.
I kind of feel like a lot of time, Lizards in Rebel, there's two kinds of Lizard teams in Rebel. There's the teams that are building up and the teams that are coming back down the other side. There's very few teams. It's a very small spot in the middle of those 2 points. I'm waving my hands around like an idiot. You can't see me because I'm not streaming. This is a podcast. But trust me, there's like an arrow. I'm making like a TP shape with my hands, right? And there's a tiny point at the top of that TP where these Lizard teams are like, yeah, that's a kick-ass Lizard team. That's going to do well. And if you get that Lizard team and you get it to playoffs and you're at that point, you're going to do well in playoffs, right? That's like the Hood versus Horny Cricket kind of match. You're in Hood competition level, or you're in Horny Cricket at the time he got to win the playoffs. Or you know, somewhere like that, you're up there in the peak. Otherwise, you're kind of either building towards it or you're sliding down the other side.
I just don't think I'm ever... Like, Hud is probably the only Lizard coach that I could say I was impressed by. If that makes sense. Like, I have played Lizards in the Rebrol. That was the season I played in Minors that I won. And, like, I didn't lose a single game. Like, it's a very strong team when it's at its peak. And you're not taking attrition.
You know who I think is actually a really good Lizard coach and doesn't get enough credit for it, for his time on him? Kirkengrad did really well on Lizards. But that's neither here nor there.
But that's exactly my point. Because if you've ever watched Kirkengrad play anything that's not Lizards, really not impressed.
Right.
Really not impressed.
Right.
And so... I mentioned Wave and Sukara, or Sukari, whoever... as Lizard coaches that did really well and, you know, arguably would be top 40 coaches. But the same reason that they wouldn't be was because they're Lizard coaches.
Do you just not like Lizards? Lizards are actually a great team.
That's my point. They're too, like, they make up for bad play. Mask the coaching ability of whoever's playing them.
Says the Skaven coach.
I can point to a lot of bad Skaven coaches, maybe some down under.
I mean, Papanasi didn't lose to Vampires.
I think he won 7-0.
Papanasi didn't play Illumi either.
I'm just saying, he won 7-0, Superfed. He's got to be doing something.
I'm not going to go all atomic on everybody here, but there are some really poor played Skaven out there that I don't need to point out.
God, that's an old one. That's an old reference there. It checks out, but it's an old one.
Jesus, but you can say that about every race, though, right?
Right.
And some races just
they don't hide the skill.
Superfed, we can't not put any coaches on because they play Lizards. That's not an acceptable criteria. You played Lizards, you don't get on the list.
I'm not blocking their Dirtief Basher. I'm just saying, I can't say that I respect the Lizard coach because of only what I've seen them play on Lizards, and with the exception of Hud. Like, when has Dirtief Basher ever thrown a Saurus dodge that made a play.
He probably has, to be
it.
Fair.
He hasn't done it in the playoffs. Playoffs?
I have to say, right? Speaking of Hood, I really want to put Hood on the list at some point, but he insists on playing this stupid No Chaos Warrior Chaos team. And it's just not doing the bit. He won him some big crunch, I think it was. And he did really well there. And he'd so make the list if he'd stop playing it in Rebel and play a real team. Because he's such a good coach, but he's doing so bad with them. I love you, Hood.
He's having fun. You're allowed to play for fun.
God damn it.
You can play for fun, but you probably don't prove yourself as
you
a
You lose all
coach
of my respect.
I'm going to go on
it. We're not going to say you're a top 40 coach when you're playing for fun.
Dirtief, welcome to the list. Welcome to the list, Dirtief. We're going to move on. You're here. Derby got you there. I somewhat agree with his sentiment, and I'm not as harsh as Superfed about this because Lizards are a good team, and therefore you have to be God to do well in Lizards. That's not okay. That's not okay to say, man.
Not really the argument, but that's all right. Sure.
It's a somewhat summarized version of the argument.
You are quite fantastic at misrepresenting arguments, I will say.
I'm all right.
See, you wanted sass, and now you got sass, because my match is done.
You know what? You've stopped me from playing Legends of Runeterra. You want to fight? I want to fight you. I've had to close my game to do a podcast.
There we go. Now you're getting spicy.
Someone get me a violin for Fed there.
No, it's fine. I'm here now. It's got to be my pick anyway, right?
It's my pick. I'm going next.
Oh, fine. Right. I'll go last.
I always go last. It's my turn. I'm going to go with someone who everyone always assumed was on the list, and I'm done with the meme. I'm actually inviting him into the list. I'm finally doing it. I've broken. My willpower has ended. I'm actually putting Thomas T on the list.
That's fair.
I actually thought he was on the list, so.
Everyone thinks he's on the list. We thought he was on the list in like the second episode, and it was actually the Sage, and it just played into the Thomas T meme of Thomas T, right, is the best coach. One of the best coaches. He was until he made it to playoffs. He was, I think last season was season 11 was his first season in playoffs, and he got there again last season. From season 10 on and prior, he was arguably the best coach in Rebel that had never made playoffs. That was a Haringzord statistic. So
it happens.
So don't argue with me, Fed. That wasn't me. That was Haringzord, and you wouldn't argue with Haringzord because you like him.
I didn't. I want to argue it, but I'm not going to.
Because it's Haringzord.
No, it's because it's G-Man, and I don't know what his competition was.
Oh yeah, Thomas T has rocked around in like Division 1 for ever.
Yeah, that's. I'm pretty sure that's why he was getting that statistic. It's like there's more tickets in Div 1. So.
He literally narrowed. Well, even every division that he was in. On the way up his climb to Division 1, he missed playoffs by one spot. He was the spot below playoff contention. And then he got to Div 1 and missed playoffs by one spot, and missed playoffs by one. And it was like, he really is like... We always call Lumi like the Rel Bridesmaid, yeah? Thomas okay, T yeah. is the
I'm
G-man.
Sure Lumi loves that.
It was, you know, for a long time he really was. That was Lumi's kind of...
Well, it was... First round playoff eliminations was his thing.
Yeah, but Thomas never got there. And then he got there and...
Diced the chores.
No, he got there the season before last and got knocked out. He was the opening game of the season 11 playoffs. And it was like, Thomas T has finally made it to playoffs, everybody. Yes, we're going to get to see what he's capable of. He's finally made it. Boom, done. First, in and out. Like, playoffs had been started 2 hours and he was done. Like, the worst way to go. And it felt awful because we were all sat there going, he doesn't deserve it. You don't want to play favourites, right? As a caster, you don't want to play favourites. But you felt for the guy because he worked so hard to get there. And he's such a good coach. He really is such a good coach. And then he got back last season and he did a lot better, made it further. Everyone started to realise that actually he's probably got one of the most lethal Dark Elf teams in the league.
That poor Chorf team.
He utterly massacred them. Even like kill teams like Jimmy Fantastic's Chaos, he's going, I'm scared of this Dark Elf team. They murder you. They just straight up kill you. Like when kill
some
Chaos
have that power.
Yeah, it's just
they just do for some reason. They have the power to murder you, and you don't know why.
Yeah, and his Dark Elves absolutely have the power to murder your face off.
He's definitely holding some injuries now.
Yeah, yeah, he's been battered to hell and back, but he keeps going, and he keeps winning, and he keeps doing well, and it's really kind of like, he's one of those teams that just won't lay down and die. He doesn't know when to say, I've had enough, he just keeps on going. And he had an encounter with Bobby Bintang this season, and Bobby Bintang has arguably one of the best Witch Elves in the entire league, right? Thomas T. niggled it. Because it's what Thomas T. does.
Jealousy.
This is how it works. It's fine. But beyond all of that, his essentials are really spot on. He gave me, with the season I qualified for playoffs, he gave me one of the toughest games I had that season before I made it to playoffs, including niggling one of my favourite goats, because it was my surf goat, on a foul that he just randomly decided to run up and go, I'm going to run assisted foul you. I was like, oh, okay. And then niggled it, no regen. Thanks for that, mate. I still remember that one. not salty at all. It's just, he's got this reputation for just murder and stuff, and he's a very aggressive coach, but he knows when to go in, he knows how to play it. He's a very smart coach, and you know what? I genuinely think if he sticks at it and sticks at it and sticks at it, as long as his team doesn't die, he's going to keep going back to playoffs now. He's got the taste. He's got the eye of the tiger. I'm giving it to him.
He also does a lot of stuff around the league. He's an admin. He's the reason that the Imperium is a thing.
But he's the reason Imperium works. He's the reason that Imperium isn't basically scrawled on pen and, you know, on paper with a pen.
Right. Right. Yeah, and you know, he's played definitely some good football, and Dark Elves are a team that has a little bit more skill expression. So yeah, I'm a fan of that.
Are you okay with that idea? Do you accept that?
Because mass blodge step is skill expression.
depends on how. I mean, there's a variety of ways to play it. Like, we've got Jape and Z, and we talked forever on Jape and Z's nomination about the way that he plays Dark Elves compared to what we usually see. And I think Thomas T doesn't do the blodge step screen defense just 24/7. He's got a nice variation on that, the way he plays.
He does fight. He has some fights. And you know, he knows when. I think that's the thing, is he knows when to have a fight and when to disconnect and try and play the agi game, and it always feels like he knows what's what, right? Like, in terms of when he's in that phase of the game where it's time to go in, or it's time to back off, or it's time to, you know, use your agi players, and it's time to roll some agi stuff and things like that. And that always is interesting to me to watch, that coaches who know that. If, you know, it's like Sandoon level of, unlike Sandoon, like who Sandoon, you always felt like you were playing Sandoon two turns behind because he knew what was going to happen coming up. Thomas T's not quite that level of coach. He's much more in control and reactionary to what's on the pitch, but that's still a really good skill to have, to know when it's time to commit and when it's time to back up.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And also, like you say, he's also a really nice guy. He ran the other things he did, for example, he ran G-Man Ramp Up for like 3 or 4 seasons, which is a thankless damn task. So yeah. How else is there? Superfed, over to you. Talk.
Yeah, sure, I can do that. It's gonna be one that I think won't surprise anyone this week. Covered one Super Bowl winner last week, bringing in another. Miss Days.
What a terrible coach. Days. I don't agree with this at all. He just plays easy teams, and you can't show anyone you're good with what else.
Yeah. You can't, really, can you? He is a coach that played Bretonians in Rel 1, as like early as he possibly joined the league, and with fresh Bretonians at that, and still managed to build a team that was crazy, that got a legend, that won games.
He was in the race for the first ever legend, right? With that player.
Yeah, he was. One of the matches that stands out for me with Miss Days is a match against Fiction, when Fiction had his multiple plus strength werewolves. And I think everyone just was saying on paper how, okay, this is going to be like the easiest match for Necro to win. And his Bretonians just put on a clinic, showing a massive gap in the skill disparity, and it was very impressive.
His Bretonians as well. He wasn't afraid to stray away from the build, as it were. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of players, when they're building, like, at night and they get Mighty Blow early, they'll go, okay, well, we're going down the path. We're going to take Tackle. We're going to make this a killer. We're going to try and get another double for piling on, yada, yada, yada. And it was like, I think he got Mighty Blow, and then he got Agi and completely pivoted and went, okay, well, he's got Mighty Blow, and that's cool, but I'm actually really, really in need of something else. I'm in need of a ball carrier, quarterbacky style player. And the Mighty Blow is just kind of nice to have if I ever get to throw a punch. And a lot of people are so fixated on their one development path, they won't kind of be willing to make that step. But I think it was steps like that that actually did him so well on that Bretonian team.
Well, that's interesting. You can't get a Agi 5 Bretonian blocker without an Agi 4 Bretonian blocker. And
this is true.
Faze is one of the coaches that showed that off, and it was the most ridiculous piece because it didn't even have a dodge, but like, you know, you still do Agi 5 things when you have an Agi 5 piece. And I saw that multiple times.
Godfrey the Jackal.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, but just picking up the ball and punting it with your Agi 5 piece whenever you get the ball loose is always impressive.
To be honest, having Agi 5 and wrestle is really good. It probably gets you fouled.
For sure.
It should get you fouled, yes.
The only reason I'm slightly salty on my stairs, being honest, is we brought him into Clan Metal, and he's not done as well as I hoped he would do. He's done well. He's done well.
Give him better matchups.
I give him the best matchups.
I disagree by the sounds of
I don't know. I think he's always like really good and a real threat, and you can always rely on him to put everything into a match. And that's what I like about the situation, is you can always rely on him to throw everything at it, right?
Yeah, he does. And then, like, he also still respects snakes, which is, you know, something that you see people stop doing when they play Agi teams. Because, you know, you feel
vulnerable. I admitted to that flaw earlier, so.
Snakes never happen. What are you talking about? Crazy man.
It's not always like there's a difference between respecting them and playing with redundancy or going all in, and usually the better coaches play with redundancy, so yeah, it's really good to see when they do it. I'm not one of those coaches.
His playoff run was quite impressive too. Like, it wasn't just a straight I'm gonna out Agi all the Bash teams. Like, he played a number of teams. There was a one turner war between him and Skaven.
Those are interesting.
Tough. You know, he definitely beat the Bash teams, and getting there through Rel was, of course, going to do that too. But yeah, he definitely earned that Super Bowl, that's for sure. And that was when we had the large team format too, so it was quite a challenge.
I always enjoyed with watching on his playoff run. One of the things that I always thought was incredible was his willingness to commit to chopping a team in half. Like, he'd focus his blitzes and his aggression around trying to segregate. Like, you see a lot of these teams that go quite heavy on the LOS and then they only have a few players back to pick the ball, because that's just how you play. A lot of Blood Bowl coaches play. You fight the LOS and then you bring the ball up to the LOS and then you go down the pitch. If you tried that against my stairs, on his first turn, he'd have most of his team behind your LOS. And then the rest of you're fighting on two fronts then. And it always fascinated me the way he did it. It was such, and his ward answer positioning, he'd separate the ward answers by, like, they'd be like 10 squares away from each other, more maybe. But they'd be so far away that there wasn't a place on the pitch that a ward answer didn't have access to if a ward answer needed access to it.
Yeah, and separating like a team like that is, a lot of coaches don't know how to deal with it, and that ward answer coverage is also perfect, and I did definitely notice that one in his playoff run as well. It was really good placement of players, especially key players.
Are we making Superfed's argument for him?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I
can't disagree with his choice.
I don't think there's really much that needs to be added to it, frankly. Like, he's If you've been around the league, you should be very familiar with Mistaeus. He streams his games. Right now he's playing Goblins. He's undefeated on Goblins.
How is this happening, by the way? Like, he...
like a noob.
It isn't, though. That's the thing. He's not that bad. Yeah,
I've already put a good curse on him, too, because from my experience with Goblins, you don't believe they're going to work for a long time, and then, like, you start seeing them working, and you keep winning games, and eventually... when you start to believe that they will work is when they fail and they crush your soul and your dreams. And I look forward to being there when it happens to Mistaeus.
You're such a terrible person.
I played Goblins for like a 20-game season in a different league, and it was an experience. I will never play them again. I will never play them again.
I only ever play Stunties when I don't give a damn. Like, I don't think I could ever bring myself to play Stunties in Rebel Main because they're fun and I like playing Goblins, but I don't.
That was the thing, is I had won the league the season prior, so I was like, oh, I'm not going to try. I'm just going to play Goblins and have fun because I'm totally capable of just having fun and not trying to win.
Where is the real Super Fed, and what have you done with him?
After winning my bracket and getting into the playoffs, I was like, oh my god, I'm winning with Goblins. I can totally do this. And then
look, Ma, no hands! Yeah. That's whopping the side of a bus.
Oh, I know. I 100% know that is why I lost. I've no doubt in my mind that's why I lost. But
yeah, you changed your mindset.
Weirdest thing.
I think it,
but...
yeah, a lot of the Goblin mindset is, this isn't going to work, but I think I should try it. And when you start playing, like, this is going to work, this is going to, and it's like, that's when it's never going to work, because you can't have that mindset. You've got to have the, I don't want to do this, but I feel like it's the choice that I have to make in this scenario. Whereas when you start going, I can make a couple of 3+ dodges, this is easy. Like, you mm-hmm. just, it changes the way you approach the game fundamentally, I think.
Yeah.
There's a difference between positive mental attitude and cockiness.
Yeah, I think so.
Mistaeus doesn't do that, but he will. And when he does...
you'll be there, and you'll tell him.
Exactly. You so.
You'll look in his eyes as the soul drains away.
That's exactly what'll happen.
Oh, Fed.
Terrible.
Meanwhile, however, he has got a Super Bowl title, so you can't really take that away from him. Man's got a trophy. It's not a bull in a canoe. But it's actually I believe it's a bull centaur, believe it or not. It's not a bull in a canoe, but it's about as close as you can get. If he's got a canoe lying around, he can put it in.
And take a photo? That'd actually be fantastic. Do that.
He doesn't listen to the podcast, I don't think. Maybe.
Oh, no.
Maybe he should. Someone poke my stairs and tell him to listen to this podcast. Particularly. Just because we want to see his bull centaur in a canoe. Are we good, Fed? Are you satisfied with the...
I'm satisfied with that nomination.
How many are we up to? How many are on the list now?
That'll put us up to 20.
Okay, that's pretty good. We're halfway there. That's not bad. See?
Halfway there and living on a prayer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, lemon on a pear. Right, something I want. There was a talking point I wanted to talk about, but we moved into the top 40 because we were arguing, and I figured it was time to argue a bit more. Right. I want to talk about, like, how you guys approach, and this is an interesting one because we've talked about, like, the attitude you should bring to games and stuff. I want to talk about something a little bit different. How do you guys approach a coach that's kind of unpleasant to play against because of their conduct in chat? Do you just mute them? Do you try and talk them about it? Because, and I'm not naming names, but I played a coach recently, and let's just say it wasn't going his way in the first half, and he was constantly talking about, like, oh, it's a free win for you, and stuff like that. And then, like, his dice turned on, but his attitude never changed, and it turned the entire, like, hour and a half game for me into a really unpleasant experience. I know people are going to start going through my match reports and going, was it him? Don't do that, okay? Because it wasn't even necessarily inside Rebel. I do have an alt account that I play CCL on that I'm never going to give anyone the details of, because it's nice sometimes to just be able to play and be left alone. Like, there are generally coaches I'll run into in CCL on my main account that will just foul me 16 straight turns because they know who I am.
I'd do that.
Yeah, but it's not, yeah, it doesn't really make
sense. I should probably look into doing that sometimes.
That would be me.
No, I know.
I would actually like to play an alt account someday.
Some days as well. No, some days as well. Like, they're just coaches that genuinely... you know me, I'll sit and chat to anyone, yeah? But sometimes I just want to play a quiet game, keep myself to myself, I've got an hour and a half spare, and I don't want to sit there and have, like, 3-minute long conversations every time. It's, you know, I just want to be left alone a little bit. And it's really hard to tell people that you want that. So it's easier. Because you get 3 coach accounts with a copy of Blood Bowl 2. One of them is my main. The other one, a second one, is the one I host all of the Rel, G-Man, and Big O competitions on. And the third one is my alt account that you're never getting the details of. But I have definitely beaten streamers on it. I'm just saying. When I spanned into them accidentally. But it's nice just to just have a quiet day where you can just chill and play Blood Bowl.
That sounds nice.
And I ran into this guy on that account. And it was just like, the dice terrible, the dice terrible, the dice terrible. It's like, you're going to win this. It was like, stuff like Swelter and Heat knocked out half his team. And I was like, you've won this. And I'm like, no, I haven't, because you're...
Yeah, I do hate when people are like, oh, well, this is over and it's turn 4. That does drive me.
By the end of the game, I sent him a message like 2 turns from the end of the game. I went, look, I don't know if you've been doing this intentionally. I don't know if you realise you're doing this, but I just want to say you've really made this game unpleasant because of, I've been trapped here for an hour listening to you complain, and you've beaten, you know, you've actually beaten me because I rolled like quad skulls on turn 15, and all I needed to do was push a guy out the way. I needed to push or better, and I rolled quad skulls, and then pushing him out of the way would have formed a cage, and I had enough players around to screen as well, and it was like, that's all I needed was a push, and I rolled quad skulls and gave him a shot on the ball. He sacked the ball, it went off the pitch, because it bounced off of my player, then his player, then out, kind of thing. So it was the worst possible chain of bounces as well. Bounced out and landed in right in front of his team. And I was just like, and then he picked it, and none of this was with a reroll on him. None of this was with a reroll. Then he picks it up and does 2 GFIs, and he's too far away. And I'm like, you've literally just won on God dice. But you've been talking non-stop about how you were going to lose this game. It was incredibly unpleasant. And a lot of people would just either mute them, or they'd try and turn off the chat, or they'd, you know, tune it out, whatever. But I thought, maybe he doesn't realise he's doing it. Maybe... And what I just want to know what you guys would do in that situation, and what you think people should do if they encounter that.
I would rile him up and actually try and get him to either play worse at that point because he's so freaking tilted. Or, I mean, genuinely what I do in Rebel is more of like the try and commiserate, or like, ah, it's not over yet, it's too early to say that, you know. But if it was in CCL spin, I would totally just say, yep, you're totally right. I don't even know why you're playing. Well, I mean, if you're going to keep making bad moves like that, then, you know. it's what your goal is, I guess. Or I would just ignore it and mute it. But
so context definitely matters. Who you're playing definitely matters, and where. People won't do that on tabletop because you're right there. So if they start complaining like that, they run out of opponents very quickly.
Not only do they run out of opponents, they run out of drinking partners as well. Because,
well, yeah,
it's always fun to go for a pint after a Blood Bowl game, but you never go to the pub with that guy. He's the guy that you wait till he's packed up and left, and then go pub.
yeah, right. When you're playing in like a league setting, like ours, like the Rebel League, you definitely want to try to shift the mindset away from that, because you want them to both enjoy their experience and you want to enjoy your own experience, right? But if it was like random CCL, I'd probably do what Fed did, just rile them up a little
even
bit.
Even on your main account, it's Fed, knowing that people know who you are.
Yeah. Oh, of course. The last person that did that to me was a Rebel coach. In the CCL.
Then you wound them up.
Of course. you know who it is, and you would do the same.
Maybe.
Yeah, and sometimes you sort of, they need to be, because...
Maybe I just can't turn off my league manager mindset, right?
Well, you don't correct the behavior by, well, in my experience, you don't correct the behavior by being the good cop. It's the, I'm going to show you, hold a mirror up to what you're doing. How do you feel about that?
Because that always works, doesn't it, right?
Well.
Actually, to be fair, the guy went, I really didn't realise how salty I was getting, and I didn't realise that it would have such an impact on you. I am really, really sorry. Now, whether that was just him saying it, you know, he didn't tell me F off. That's a plus one. That's a tick in the win column. But, you know, maybe did it affect him going forward? I don't know. But maybe if we're a very small community, we're still a very small community. I think there's a certain amount of we kind of need to be cool to each other. And I don't know. Maybe if it improves his opponent's games going on and his matches going on, because
I've done the be super nice to people in CCL thing many, 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 many times. It's just how I play the game normally. I'll get salty, don't get me wrong, but I'm usually very pleasant. And it can be hard when you're stuck in a game for an hour and a bit and nothing's working. It's easy to slip into that mindset of, oh, this is rubbish, everything's terrible, you've already won. Like, that can happen, because of the format of the game, obviously. But they shouldn't be doing that. But that's just the internet as well, isn't it?
Oh, I've totally played coaches in CCL as well that have rolled six consecutive sixes to pull off like a cage dive.
Yeah.
Not two red dice uphill, pick up the ball and escape from the cage. And then they've taunted me all game about how terrible I am at the game.
Right.
I genuinely thought that was super fed on an alt account at one point.
But I've also helped newer coaches and stuff, and sometimes they'll listen, and that's great, because, you know, it is a small community, so you want to grow it, and when new coaches come in that are struggling, trying to help them out is not a bad thing. But that's not often the case, sadly. It's just people that don't want the help. And they don't want to be told that, you know, they're being unpleasant.
I mean, how do you know until someone tells you, though?
Yeah, you just either get reputations for it, because, you know, you play in a small community, so reputations happen. Yeah, I don't know. Or you see the same faces, and you've learned to expect things from particular people as well.
There are certain coaches that you know by reputation that you'd absolutely go, well, I expect if I play them, I know exactly what's going to happen if I roll a couple of sixes at the wrong time.
Yeah, right. You just expect things, so. Which sucks a little, but you can thrive on it like Fed does, and I think it's not a bad thing.
To me, it's a strategic edge. It's tilt, like just at poker. Like, you get your opponent playing poorly, making emotional decisions, not strategic ones, you're more likely to win.
Anyone who's got, who's still playing the Fed mentions poker as an analogy, take a drink.
There's your one. I was really amused. It came up in one of the, I think, Beer Hall this week. People were talking again about poker and Blood Bowl, and I was like, oh, brings a tear to my eye.
I made this.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard point, Metal. I don't think you did the wrong thing, but ignoring it is an option. It's a hard one. It's an individual personal.
Oh, that's, you know what? I'm not asking for anyone to go, you did the right thing or you did the wrong thing or whatever. I just wanted to know what you guys would have done. I think it's an interesting conversation to see how people would have reacted to that. Because we've always, our argument has always been within the podcast whenever we've talked about mindset and attitude and stuff. That you should try and be positive and yada, yada, yada. But it's interesting to have the conversation of what do you do when someone hasn't got the right mindset. I think that's an interesting conversation.
Well, yeah. And small communities, so.
Yeah, you, like I said, I think the last thing you want is to get a reputation. Because there's a point where you'll get a reputation, then people will start going, well, actually, I don't want you to play my league, or I don't want you to do this, or I don't want you to do that. You know, I don't want to be around you kind of thing. So maybe if I know that you're a prominent figure in that, you know, if people know that Fed is a prominent figure in the league, maybe they'll go, well, he's been a bit of a douche to me in the past. Maybe I don't want to play in Rebel.
Fair. Very fair.
I'm not saying he has, and I'm not saying that's the case, but you get that, you know, if I'd have went to that guy, I run this big league, look how important I am, shut up.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, is he going to go, ooh, I want to play a league, I'm going to go play in Rebel, and are we then going to miss out on someone who maybe, because you know what, all of our coaches were sunshine and rainbows their first games in. They're, you know, some coaches, I mean, how often, Fed, have you seen a coach get a warning or a strike and turn it around and go, well, actually, okay, I've realised that wasn't the way you should behave in a private league, and then they've turned it around and become like prominent community members.
There's definitely,
I think it depends on who you want to be.
People that improve, for sure, yeah.
Like, that depends on who you want to be as a coach and as a player and as a community figure, right? If you want to be part of the community, you have to have that attitude, otherwise you won't survive as a community member, realistically.
I'm just saying, I think if I was upset in the people I was playing against because they didn't like my attitude or the way I approached the game or whatever, I'd want to know.
Yeah, I'd want to know, but not everyone would.
True. Fed would just be like, haha, feed me with your tears.
As you do.
We should move on. I think we've covered it. I think it's an interesting... You know what I really want to see? I want to see what people in my dude say. They'll probably still be arguing over whether Wolfbark was or wasn't Darby's selection.
Excellent.
What will be really hilarious is if he doesn't get nominated again.
If he never makes it.
Right. Exactly. That is what I low-key hope happens.
Not because you hate Wolfbark, but just because it's funny, right? Or do you, I don't know.
Mostly because he'll hate Darby now.
Yeah, true.
That's the real reason.
It's all Darby's fault, Wolfbark. We're sorry.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what? It's always going to get made my fault. We know this to be true. It's always going to be me. Right. So, yeah, anyway, I've been telling this joke, like, to a couple of like friendship groups about how veganism is a lot like communism because they're both fine unless you like food. And I realised that the problem with the joke is that vegan jokes are kind of an acquired taste and communism jokes are only funny if everyone gets them.
Follow-up.
No, that's the follow-up.
It's a thing.
It's actually, genuinely, it's only on my mind because I've just found out my ex-wife has apparently gone vegan, and I'm like, does that make my kids vegan?
I mean, no, it
does
not.
It's not that different from my own joke, which is, you know, why are elevator jokes so classic and good? Because they work on many levels.
But they don't, and you're wrong.
I liked it, Fed. I liked it.
Oh, dear.
Come on then, Darby. You've got a lot to say until it's your turn.
What are the advantages of living in Switzerland?
Oh, we've had this
Their
joke.
Flag is
you know, I don't know, we've had you this have... joke. Oh, no. He's all critical, but then he recycles jokes. That was like a week 10.
Was it? I haven't listened to that podcast. That's so long ago.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. It was after you gave us all grief, and as soon as I was like, no, we've had this one. It was Kedgeroo's.
I've heard the elevator something. Joke many times myself, so.
But not on the podcast.
Oh, fine. I need a joke summary so that doesn't happen again. Someone needs to get onto that.
Can you imagine Grandview King going back?
I was like, Grandview actually likes the joke bit the best, so he probably would get, like...
Grandview, we need 93 podcasts worth of dad jokes.
Please? Cataloging, yeah, that way, That way I can check and make sure this never happens again.
It's just 279 dad jokes. It's fine.
That's easy.
Fine.
Like
it might be more. There's a couple episodes where we had like four guests and stuff, or we just trotted out a couple each.
Oh, true. Yeah, probably 300.
We need a podcast library maintained by Grandview. That's the one. Who would ever read that? Literally, who would ever read that?
You know, our people would. the people you so eloquently called nerds earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Fair. Fair point, well made. Right. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that is our little show. I want to say thank you to Darby for getting up at stupid o'clock in the morning.
Thank you for having me. It's
Did you enjoy your time here? It's been an experience for sure.
Today was definitely sidetrack worthy. I blame Runeterra, whatever it's called.
Legends of Runeterra. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Fed, you're not allowed to play that. You know you're gonna get in trouble because you didn't keep this on the rails at all, and it's entirely your job.
It was also your fault.
How? What? I'm not in control of my own. Tangents.
No one blames the poor innocent metal for going off topic. How dare you?
I think people tune in to see it happen and how it's going to happen. But anyway, Darby, it's been a genuine pleasure. I do love chatting to you. I know obviously you don't stream yourself and stuff, but if you ever get the chance to catch a Crusader stream when Darby's commentating, like, he's about the only person that ever does, and it's actually really insightful. So it's worth watching.
That's so fair.
It's
so fair.
It really is. I like Crusader. He's a good guy. He's a lot better talking about stuff that aren't Blood Bowl whilst showing Blood Bowl.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I love Blood Bowl.
I guess no, but like, it surprised me because I always assumed you tune into Crusader's stream and you're gonna get like loads of like, you're gonna get fun, you're gonna get chat with the lads and stuff like that, but you're not gonna get like really insightful commentary. And then you were doing your best to cast a game in the background whilst him and Swagtusk were going on about something. And I was like, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's really worth having on. And you know, if you ever get the chance and like you want to cast some playoff games or whatever, you're always welcome to jump
That'd
in.
Be nice.
Because
one day I'll play a real team that you'll get me see me play at.
Like lizards.
Like lizards, yeah. <okay. laughs>
Oh, super fed, mate. Thank you, as always, for providing so much entertainment for me. I don't know how much entertainment it was for you, but I found it incredibly entertaining.
I know you had a great time, and that's what matters most.
And speaking of what matters most, I want to say thank you as well to all of our Patreons that make this possible. We've got ArchXL, we've got Zinge, we've got Dr. Nick, we've got Aldar, we've got someone whose name I've got and I don't want to read it out and I really need to know your username and I hate that I don't know it. We've got Horny Cricket, who is apparently coming back to Rebel soon. That's super exciting that he's jumped on the Patreon and backed us. We've got Jeff, we've got Ezekiel, we've got Coach Cool. You're all awesome. Thank you so much for everything you do for us in terms of the funding. It lets us do the podcast, it lets us do the mugs, which I've just sent a mass order out of tonight, actually. So all of our prizes are just about up to date. We're just waiting on the trophy to get finished. It just needs a trophy base, and we can show everyone how wonderful that is. You guys do that too. We couldn't do it without you guys. We really appreciate it. And if I do owe you a casted game, or I do owe you talking about an advert or whatever, come and harass me or Superfed, and we'll get that sorted out. Probably harass me to harass Superfed, because he might kill you.
There's only one ad in the back order, so it will happen when it happens.
To be fair, I'm not, no one should expect that it's going to get done now kind of thing, but give us an idea and we can, you know, you can start working on it, right? You can't start kicking the idea around unless you're presented with the idea, right?
Sure.
If you're like me, your creative mind kind of works in the whole, I'm just going to sit and think about this for about 3 weeks and we'll kind of mill it through and see where it ends up and then it comes out at the end. It's a nugget of gold. Anyway, guys, thanks all for listening. It's been
metal
fantastic.
Gold, you heard it here first.
Yeah, you got to mill on it for a couple of weeks. But yeah, you get there in the end. Thank you all for listening. You all stay classy now, folks.
Oh, shoot. It's Rusty C. Butter and his gang of orcs. We best be dodging out of here.
Nah, man, they ain't nothing.
You kidding me? Ever since Braz has left, they're the meanest orcs in the REL. He calls them the secret of my success.
What? Sounds like a book title.
You're right. That's because it is. Now you can coach your very own orc team by picking up the 3-time best-selling new orca title, The Secret of My Success. This book answers all your burning orc questions.
Really? Like, should I have a thrower?
Yep. And the answer is no. Just roll agi-ups.
Wow, that's amazing.
Hey, how much mighty blow is too much mighty blow?
When it's more than your guard and your tackle. Next question.
Ooh, I got one. How do I beat elves?
The page is blank, but I tell you what, if you fill that in and send it back to Rusty, he'll give you a free copy of his next book. So call 1-555-MEAN-ORC today for just 3 easy payments of human teeth. This book is yours. Can't read? No problem. The pictures edition is free with shipping and handling. You'd have to be a bonehead not to.